Good afternoon, 4:30 and 59 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
You've got to have those cultural pieces, you've got to have the Greek life pieces, you've got to have athletics to keep them here.
Dr. Jay Morgan talks about the challenges facing small campuses during a visit to Moorhead State today. Morgan is the lone finalist to become the 14th president of MSU. Floyd County deputies say they've arrested a major drug dealer. And Kentucky's agriculture commissioner says industrial hemp will help the state's farm economy, but it is no replacement for tobacco. In sports, the semifinals of the boys' 16th region basketball tournament are being played tonight at MSU. Bud Luke has the Stocks. Mostly cloudy with scattered showers this evening, low in the mid-50s. We'll check the complete forecast after this news. According to WYMT, police in Floyd County have busted what they're calling a large-scale drug dealer. Deputies say Jeremy Graff is held on two counts of trafficking in a controlled substance after his car was stopped on Friday. The second man in the car, Hank Pelfrey, was also charged. Deputies reportedly confiscated 30 grams of crystal meth, oxycodone, and hydrocodone from the vehicle. They say Graff was already being sought for other crimes committed in Kentucky and Florida. Cases against six people charged with stealing an ATM machine from St. Joseph's Hospital in Mount Sterling will be presented to a Montgomery County grand jury this Friday. The Mount Sterling Advocate reports a seventh person accused in the February 7th incident, 18-year-old Damian Faulkner of Mount Sterling, faces a preliminary hearing on Thursday. The other defendants are also from Mount Sterling. They are 31-year-old Michael Faulkner, 36-year-old Anthony Faulkner, Jason and Dusty Clark, also both 36 years old, and 64-year-old James Faulkner. Police claim the men used a dolly to roll the machine to a U-Haul van and then drove it to a residence on Pruitt Grassy Lick Road. There, they allegedly used power tools to crack open the ATM and take $5,700 in cash. The suspects were identified through surveillance video inside and outside the hospital. They're charged with theft and engaging in organized crime. The Ohio Fire Marshal is investigating a late-night fire that destroyed a home on North 5th Street in Ironton. WSAZ reports that the structure was vacant at the time of the blaze, but one squatter had been staying inside. No injuries were reported. The priest at the epicenter of the Catholic Church sex abuse scandal has died. Here's Will Clark.
The Kentucky Department of Corrections confirms that Lewis Miller died over the weekend at the state prison at LaGrange. Miller pled guilty in 2003 to sexually abusing children in the 1970s at several Kentucky parishes. In 2004, Miller was defrocked by Pope John Paul II. He had testified he'd offered to resign, but three archbishops, all who knew of his actions, declined to accept the resignation, instead moving him from parish to parish. I'm Will Clark.
A federal jury has convicted an Amish Bath County farmer on 13 federal counts of misbranding his homemade cosmetics with cancer-causing claims and impeding a federal investigation. Prosecutors say Samuel Girard continued to sell his cosmetics after he was ordered to stop in 2013 by a federal judge in Missouri. Girard had advertised the products as cures for skin cancer, tumors, and headaches. A release from the U.S. Attorney's Office says Girard continued to sell the products to customers in Wisconsin, Indiana, and Illinois. Court records say he also blocked FDA agents from inspecting his facility in 2013. Girard is scheduled to be sentenced June 16th. Kentuckians with a terminal illness would be allowed to take experimental drugs not authorized by the federal or state governments under legislation sponsored by State Senator C.B. Embry. The Morgantown lawmaker is the sponsor of a proposal he calls a right-to-try bill. He says the legislation would permit the administering of such drugs, provided there is support from their manufacturer and the attending physician.
There will be cures for different cancers in Alzheimer's, Lou Gehrig's disease. We never know when the next one will be the one that works or at least extends life. These patients at this point have no hope, but this would give them an opportunity to have a chance at some extended life.
Embry says the patients would make their decision, knowing that experimental drugs might help them but could also hasten their deaths. He says 30 other states have approved similar legislation. State Representative Daryl Owens is a member of the House Health and Family Services Committee. The Louisville Democrat isn't sold yet on the idea. He's concerned that terminally ill people are in a desperate position that could be exploited by drug companies. Owens also points out that there has yet to be any success story.
It just strikes me that you say this. Some 30-some states have had this. It's been since 2014, and there hasn't been a case where it's been successful. So all of the people since that time have passed on.
Embry's bill was recommended for passage last week by the House Health and Family Services panel. A House panel has put its stamp of approval on a bill that would require all insurance companies selling policies in Kentucky to include smoking cessation programs. The sponsor of the measure is Republican State Senator Julie Rocky Adams of Louisville.
Numerous studies show that smokers want to quit, and for good reason. A person's health improves the moment they quit smoking, and when they quit, their health care costs and the cost to the healthcare system dramatically declines. So this, we always talk about preventative healthcare. This is preventative healthcare in its most true basic form.
Adams says mandatory smoking cessation coverage would increase costs for Medicaid and private insurance by a little over a dollar per person each year. While saying that having strong academic programs is vital for Morehead State, the lone finalist to become the university's next president says students need to be offered more than just a classroom experience. Dr. Jay Morgan visited the MSU campus today. He noted the ability to retain students also involves being able to give them several kinds of cultural and social activities.
You've got to have those cultural pieces, you've got to have the Greek life pieces, you've got to have athletics to keep them here. A modern-day student does not want to come to campus, simply go to class and go home. Now some will because of the necessity of work and family and other responsibilities. So we've got to have all the pieces in place.
Morgan currently works with the Kentucky Council on Post-Secondary Education and is a former provost at Murray State University. Morehead State's Board of Regents expects to name a replacement for current president, Dr. Wayne Andrews, in the next couple of weeks. In fact, they might do so Thursday. There is a Board of Regents meeting scheduled on Thursday. Well, Morehead State University officials back the idea of performance-based funding for Kentucky's post-secondary education system. They are asking that the bill implementing it be amended. They're requesting a change to its so-called equilibrium process, which mandates that each college and university receive an equal share of state funding for each of its students. However, right now, international and out-of-state students are included in that formula, and Beth Patrick, MSU's Vice President of Fiscal Affairs, says they should not be.
If you believe as a Kentucky taxpayer that your tax dollars should go to subsidize Kentucky resident students and not non-resident students, you should support the amendment that we're asking, is that the bill only count the outcomes of resident students and reciprocity students, not and exclude non-residents and international students.
Patrick notes that since those students already pay 100% of the cost of their education, schools with large numbers of them are benefiting twice in receiving funding from them. Reciprocity students are students who live in border counties in neighboring states. Schools on either side of that border can bill those students their in-state tuition rates. a resolution urging Dayton Power and Light to keep its coal-fired power plants in Maysville and in Adams County, Ohio, open has been okayed by the Kentucky House. The Maysville Ledger Independent reports the chamber received a request for that action from Mason County Judge Joe Peffer, Bracken County Judge Executive Earl Bush, Lewis County Judge Executive Todd Ruckel, and Maysville Mayor David Cartmell, who says hundreds of jobs will be lost if the two plants close.
It just means so much to our economy, and I mean, it's a real, you know, stake through the heart kind of for us.
The Stewart Station in Maysville and Killen Station in Adams County employ about 500 people combined. The elected officials say the plant closures would devastate the area. According to the Ironton Tribune, layoffs are possible in the Ironton Fire Department. Mayor Katrina Keith informed the fire chief and the representative for the Firefighters Union in a letter late last week. The mayor wrote that significant cuts are being discussed through all departments and funding for some positions may be eliminated on or after March 31st because of revenue shortfalls. Moorhead's mayor has laid out his goals for what he wants the city to accomplish during the remainder of 2017. At the top of his list, Jim Tom Trent wants to get things moving full speed ahead in regards to the building of new homes for the town's police and fire departments.
At this point, unless something happens and we decide we can go ahead and do both at the same time, I would say the priority would be the police station just based on the need, because we do have two fire stations and we've done $40,000-$50,000 renovation on the station two right now. So they both are needed, but priority-wise, that's number one.
Trent says that's because Moorhead's police station, which is currently located in a 1930s-era building that once served as the town's post office, is cramped and quickly deteriorating. Kentucky's Agriculture Commissioner is confident industrial hemp will continue to grow and become a bigger part of the state's farm economy. However, Ryan Quarles is also sounding a cautious note about hemp products.
One thing we've been very careful to say this past year is that industrial hemp is not a replacement for tobacco. But we're looking at this in a very realistic way. We're also looking at other alternative crops such as hops right now and canaf. So we're not just focused on one, but this is an area that we know used to be a productive crop in our state. We know that there's a demand for it, and so we're going to continue to give our farmers a shot.
Quarles says some Kentucky farmers have made money growing hemp as a grain or fiber product, but others have decided it wasn't for them and got out of the business. And finally, this afternoon, Fayette County Family Court Judge Timothy Philpott is calling on the General Assembly to mandate that judges in divorce proceedings conduct a hearing to determine if a marriage is irretrievably broken. Philpott contends such a hearing is called for in current law, but judges are not doing it. He thinks they should have to. The judge says he conducted 70 such hearings last year in order to give couples a little more time to assess the impact of their decision.
That's all I'm doing. I'm slowing the process down, and I'm asking the legislature to make it clear to the family court judges of Kentucky that slowing down the process of divorce is a fair thing to do.
Philpott says it might save a few marriages, but it will almost certainly make the two parties better parents regardless. Here is the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Rowan, Carter, and Fleming. Mostly cloudy with scattered showers in the evening, then numerous showers toward dawn, lows in the mid-50s, the chance of rain is 60%. Tuesday, periods of showers and isolated thunderstorms, highs in the lower 60s, the chance of rain is near 100%. Tuesday night, mostly clear, scattered rain showers in the evening, then isolated rain showers, lows in the upper 30s. The chance of rain on Tuesday evening is 30%. Around the region, it is 62 degrees in Ashland, 57 in Flemingsburg, 61 in Inez, 59 in Lexington, 58 in Winchester and on the campus of Morehead State University. It is 59 degrees. 4:45, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It is great to have your company on this Monday afternoon. On our feature segment, a nonprofit organization out of Olive Hill recently received a grant to plan a new park. MSPR's Victoria Agee has the story.
The Galaxy Project out of Carter County received the $12,500 grant from the Kentucky Division of Forestry's Urban and Community Forestry Program. The project is a developing youth center. According to Executive Director Andrew Bledsoe, they were formed after the 2010 floods in Olive Hill when a FEMA study revealed that residents wanted something more for the youth.
After that was decided, they started launching in, well, what do we want this to look like? And they kept moving and ended up developing a project plan and moved in the direction of forming a nonprofit organization.
Bledsoe says the grant, called the Green Space Grant, will allow them to start developing the plan for the park. It's in partnership with Virginia Tech's Design Assistance Center as part of the Restoring Environmental Quality and Economic Vitality in Appalachian Community Project.
So this grant will pay for the Community Design Assistance Center with Virginia Tech to come in, develop the plan for the park so that we can seek out additional funding after the plan has been developed to help build the actual park. So this grant specifically will only pay for the project design completed document.
Bledsoe has high hopes for the park. He says that the goal is to bring the youth and residents of Olive Hill and Carter County together and give kids a chance to socialize with each other. Bledsoe also mentions a learning aspect.
We're also looking at what are some opportunities for some learning elements into it. So maybe some pieces of it we can pull in growing fruits and vegetables and providing an opportunity for a shared community garden, you know, just a relaxing space, and also opportunities for exercise.
In addition to the Green Space Grant, the group also received two Walmart grants. One was for $500 and the other was for $2,500. The smaller of the two is going to be used for a computer for the kids. The other is going toward office space.
It'll allow us to buy computers. It'll allow us to buy software to manage our funds appropriately. It'll allow us to, you know, buy scanners, just things that we need to be able to set up an office. Because from the very beginning, we have tried to be very methodical and plan every step of the way what we're doing, because we want to set this organization up right to begin with.
The Galaxy Project hopes to develop the new park along Railroad Street in Olive Hill. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Victoria Agee.
It is 4:48. You are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR at 5 o'clock this afternoon. And Nathan has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Folk Arts Center, presenting Joe Sarter, Morehead Mind Games. On display through May 13th, the exhibition features four dozen of the artist's paintings, which draw inspiration from the people, places, and landscapes of the local area, including Morehead and Rowan County. Many of the works will be available for purchase. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., the Kentucky Folk Arts Center is a cultural, educational, and economic development service of Morehead State University.
The 16th Region's Final Four will be in action tonight. Good afternoon, reporting from Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Nathan Gutierrez. To start things off, semifinal action is on tap tonight on the boys' 16th Region basketball tournament, Ellis Johnson Arena in Morehead. At 6:30, Boyd County faces Elliott County. After fending off Russell 70-59 in the event's first round, Elliott coach Greg Atkins says his 24-3 Lions had better be ready for another battle.
Got to regroup. The score's going to be 0-0. Boyd is as good as anybody in the region. It's going to be another grinded-out game for 32 minutes. We got to be prepared mentally to regroup and get that goal again.
In tonight's late contest, Coach Sean Thacker takes his Rowan County Vikings up against Wes Carter. He's expecting a tough contest with the talented Comets.
Dalton Brown, the role players, have just steadily gotten better all year long. You know, they do their jobs, and they do them well. They star in their roles, and they know who to get shots for, where to get shots for them, and they play off of, you know, those other kids play off of the big three, and they do it really, really well.
The Vikes lost two close regular season games to the Comets. Tonight's winners will meet tomorrow evening at 7 at Johnson Arena to decide the 16th region's title. Boyd County is looking forward to its first girls Sweet 16 since 2011. Coach Pete Fraley's 26-8 Lady Lions won the 16th region championship over the weekend in Moorhead by holding off East Carter 66-63 behind tournament MVP Savannah Wheeler's 23 points.
To sit here and watch the girls go up and cut the net, I mean, that's what it's all about. I told them, you know, from the beginning of the year, you know, it's like going to work, and we come tonight to get paid. And after the game, I told them, I said, we got paid tonight. So all the hard work, sweat, and tears, it's worth it.
Boyd County faces 12th region champion Mercer County on Wednesday at 6:30 in round one of the Sweet 16. The committee charged with leading the search for Moorhead State's next men's basketball coach is wrapping up the vetting of the potential candidates for the post. Athletic Director Brian Hutchinson says the group has had a lengthy list to pare down.
The interest has been extraordinary, so we've got to do quite a bit of work to get that narrow. But we'll actually interview a number of candidates, probably off-site or certainly off-site, and then we'll make a decision as to how many of those candidates would come to campus for a little more expanded conversation with various constituents that we need to put them in front of.
A new MSU basketball coach could be named by sometime next week. Former bench boss Sean Woods resigned in early December amid controversy. Assistant Preston Spradlin took over the Eagles for the rest of the season. Hutchinson says he won't comment on Spradlin's possible chances of keeping the job or the candidacies of any other applicants. The season will still go on for the Moorhead State women's basketball team as Coach Greg Todd and his Eagles qualified for an automatic berth in the WNIT. Coach Todd is excited to continue postseason play and knows this is a big deal for MSU.
A big deal for our program. I think it's the first time in the history of our women's basketball program that we've been able to get in the WNIT.
The Eagles are 21-9 on the year. The field of play will be announced next week. With the regular season now in the books, the Kentucky basketball team ends on a high note with a few accolades from three of its players. Freshman duo Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox were named on the All-American team by USA Today. Monk landed on the second team while Fox earned a spot on the third team. The two had a combined average of 36.9 points per game. And freshman Bam Adebayo was named the league's top-performing freshman for the second week straight. The Wildcats will begin the conference tournament on Friday in Nashville. They will battle the winner between Tennessee and Georgia. A good Sunday at Allen Field has the Moorhead State baseball team's record at 6-5 for the season. The Eagles swept the doubleheader from Bowling Green by scores of 11-7 and 9-6. Senior first baseman outfielder Will Schneider helped MSU by going 7-for-9 at the plate for the two games as the Eagles bounced back from a disappointing loss on Saturday to the Falcons.
Oh, obviously really happy. We're really glad we bounced back from yesterday. Yesterday was a really tough day, but yeah, we're really excited to see how we bounced back. And we put a lot better at bats today, pitched really well, made a few errors in the field, but overall, pretty good day.
The MSU baseball team is back at Allen Field at 3 p.m. tomorrow to face Youngstown State. And finally for today in sports, Brad Keselowski takes advantage of a late penalty to win in Atlanta. Breck McMillan reports.
Brad Keselowski proved timing is everything. Having two unscheduled pit stops early enough, he could overcome them for his first win at Atlanta Motor Speedway. Kevin Harvick had the dominant car in Atlanta for the fourth straight year, leading 292 laps, but he came away winless again, getting a pit road speeding penalty with just 14 laps to go. Kyle Larson inherited the lead, but lost it to Keselowski with six laps left. Matt Kenseth finished third, Casey Kane fourth. Brett McMillan, Hampton, Georgia.
That will conclude your sports report. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Nathan Gutierrez.
Support for MSU Athletics comes from MSPR, MSU Athletics online at MSUEagles.com. Eagle Baseball visits Youngstown State at 3 p.m. tomorrow. And Wednesday, Eagle Softball welcomes East Tennessee State for two games on Wednesday, 2 and 4 p.m. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office, 783-2386, or online at MSUEagles.com. It is 4:55. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. Bud Luke Caspin, keeping track of the stock market for us this afternoon. Here's Bud.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities fell as the chances of tighter monetary policy from the Federal Reserve sunk in for investors, while geopolitical concerns increased. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 51.37 at 20,954.34. The S&P 500 was down 7.81 at 2375.31. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 21.58 at 5849.17. New York Stock Exchange breadth was over 2-1 in favor of losing stocks over winners. Market expectations for a rate hike were 86.4%, and this is according to the CME Group's Fed Watch tool. And, of course, the Federal Reserve meets on March 14th and 15th to set upcoming monetary policy. Investors also kept an eye on the geopolitical front after North Korea fired four ballistic missiles, three of which landed in Japan's exclusive economic zone, according to the Japanese Prime Minister Abe. And the Japanese Nikkei 225 fell almost 0.5%, lagging the rest of the region. Meanwhile, in Europe, stocks declined broadly as bank stocks were led lower by Deutsche Bank. Germany's biggest lender announced it will raise $8.5 billion to boost its capital position and has set new financial targets. Deutsche's U.S. listed shares fell almost 4%, while the pan-European Stock 600 index pulled back about 0.5%. In the commodities markets today, oil was down 1.7%, and gold was down 0.7%. And among Dow stocks, Caterpillar and ExxonMobil were your best performers, and the worst performers were Travelers and J.P. Morgan. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Range Resources and Cabot Oil and Gas. The worst performers were Kohl's and CSRA. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down $2.05 at $120.29, CSX up 31 cents at $49.79, AEP down 17 cents at $66.35, Marathon Petroleum down 11 cents at $51.16, AK Steel down 17 cents at $8.17, and Kroger was down 26 cents to finish at $29.37. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
And here's a recap of the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Mostly cloudy tonight, scattered showers in the evening, then numerous showers toward dawn, lows in the mid-50s. The chance of rain is 60%. Tuesday, periods of showers and isolated thunderstorms, highs in the lower 60s. The chance of rain is 100%. Tuesday night, look for clearing conditions, scattered rain showers in the evening, then isolated rain showers, lows in the upper 30s. The chance of rain is 30%, and then Wednesday, it'll be sunny with highs around 60 degrees. Wednesday night, mostly clear, lows in the mid-30s. And then on Thursday, mostly sunny with highs in the mid-60s. Checking temperatures around the region, 62 degrees in Ashland, 57 in Flemingsburg, 61 in Inez, 59 in Lexington, 58 in Winchester, and on the campus of Moorhead State University, it is 59 degrees. And that'll do it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Chuck Meraz, Nathan Gutierrez, Sean Delaney, Ashley Davidson, Kenzie Thompson, and Victoria Agee from the Kentucky News Network, Will Clark. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BHINS. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.